Well, brethren, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." It is hard for so many people to have faith of something that they cannot see, nor can they touch or hear. But brethren, do we have faith in the law of God? Do we really have the attitude to do what the Bible says we are to do to inherit eternal life? We really cannot see the law, but we can read the law. We can't touch or feel the law, but we do know it exists. See, laws can come from many different forms. We have the spiritual laws of God and the physical laws of man. Both can coexist at the same time, while others can contradict each other. For example, if you are in the military, you are to obey orders. Some orders can be used to save lives if maybe you are in a combat mission. Some orders can help you to overcome personal problems and strengthen your mental ability so you can become a stronger physical person. While other orders may just not make any sense at all because they're just given because of some high-ranking official. But something for all of us to think about in the Church of God is, do we follow orders? The spiritual and the physical laws that guide and bind us to God. One thing about following orders is we must understand what type of orders we are to follow. As James 4:12 says, there is one lawgiver who gives us lawful orders, and that is God through the pages of his Bible. So let's begin to look at this subject, and let's start in James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, and picking up in verse 10, it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Eternal, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of any other brethren. He who speaks evil of a brethren and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Verse 12 says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge one another?" See, God has placed his laws that govern his creation and the church of God, so that all things will be in subject to him. We have the laws of gravity. We have the laws of weight and measure or matter. We have physical laws of physics, spiritual laws, physical laws, and many more laws that you could probably think of. But laws have to come from somewhere. They have to have a creator to design them. And then we have to have those laws ordered or announced so that we may know of them to where we can set them presence in our life and for us to follow them to bring us into submission of the law that was set by the creator. See, there has been more abuse in the ideas of what man believes is law and order than ever before. We are to use law to help guide, to direct, and to minister, so we can build a stronger foundation in our life. When looking at the law of man, there are things we need to remind ourselves before accepting a law and following an order or command. One is, we need to know who is giving the order of law. Is it coming from God, or is it coming from man? Two is the law or order in perspective with God's law? For example, does the ordinance or the order enhance to glorify God, or does it take and contradict what his Bible says? And number three, we follow man's laws and orders that are given to us as they follow Jesus Christ. So let's turn to Matthew 23. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. For they say, but do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all of their works they do to be seen by men." See, basically, what they want to do, or they want to be important among themselves, showing their authority to others. As verse 3 says, we are to do and observe, as they say, as long as it is a lawful order and it's in accordance with God's word. Because we can read further down these verses and see that they did not practice what they preached. But as an example for so many of us in the years in the Church of God, it still happens today that people would do anything, such as following orders that they were asked to do by ministry or others in charge, whether it was right or wrong, and no matter how they may affect others or who they may have hurt. But after all, we are doing it for God. But if something is done in the name of God, does it make it right? Or does it make it wrong? Something we need to think about regularly, and it depends whether it is a lawful law or an unjust law. See, a memory scripture for most of us is Matthew 18:18, where it says, verily I say unto you, whatever you should bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. See, this is why there were so many people in the church believe that they can do anything they want to do because they feel they have authority and God is going to back them up. But a better translation for this verse would be, what is lawfully bound on earth has already been bound in heaven. See, God was not going to bind something that is unlawful because it's sin. Sin is a transgression of his own law. So we must follow law according to God's perfect law, which is sinless. As the children of God, we are to become like God in all of our actions, in all of our speech, our thoughts, and character, putting on the very nature of God, to resemble him, being perfect in all judgments and laws. Let's turn a little forward to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, we'll read verses 1 through 5. It says, judge not, that you be not judged. With what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck out of your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. See, as brethren, are we quick to judge other members of the family of God and in the world? See, we all know through the scripture that the house of God is being judged now. And we, brethren, are we passing the test? We could make it more personal and ask, are you, am I passing the test? And what example are we setting for each one of us? Are we crying out to God for mercy for our sinful actions and for others? Or do we have the attitude that we are right, others are wrong, because we do not, or you do not believe the way I believe, and I want God to punish them because I can prove it. I know that they're not living a godly way of life. See, sadly, so many people's eyes, a list of faults, they go on and never end. But what does the Bible say about how we need to respect one another? Do we show an attitude that if you do not believe like I think, does that make me better than you? Or maybe I believe 90% of what you believe, but does that make me almost as good as you? Or could we both be wrong and we need to think like someone else? Well, I think you know the answer. We need to think like someone else, and that person is God our Father. We need to think like God and how he wants us to think and apply his perfect law in our life and into our families and into the Church of God. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And we'll pick up in verse 43. It says, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. See, God is teaching those who he has called out of this world. And as God calls us out of this world, we have to pray. We have to study on our own. God is not going to do it all for us. We have to have the love to extend out our hand to help others, whether they want it or not. And for an example, we could see somebody every week at the same place, same location, and we can go up to them and say, "You need help? You need help?" "No, don't need help." Next week, we can do the same. But don't ever have the attitude saying, "I'm not going to ask him because he always turns me down." We need to constantly ask to give our help. We should never have the attitude of giving up on anyone, especially those in the household of God. Where would we be if Christ gave up on us because we keep sinning? Would he turn away? Well, God has called many into his fold, and he is placing them where he wants them to be in the body, where God can be glorified. See, a question that comes to mind when talking to others or hearing others speak or thinking about the fold that is referred to in John 10:16, where it says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Question I always like to think of is, how do you know which fold you're in? I mean, mankind envy always wants to be the best, or claims to be number one, or claims to be the strongest. But when it comes to God's truth, is our attitude to help our brother to become better than ourselves? See, regardless of which fold we belong to, or where God has placed us in the body, we are, as Jesus said, one with him. Let's turn to Romans 15. Romans chapter 15, and we'll pick up in verse 5. It says, "Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind together, one mouth saying the same things. Glorify the God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God." See, a lawful order that God has given to his family to abide by until he returns his son. And then the same attitude will apply afterwards. The only difference is we'll be perfect. And as the saying goes, perfect practice makes perfect. But unfortunately, like every family sibling, we always have our disagreements. And there's nothing wrong with disagreeing, except for the attitude of how we disagree. We can be angry with one another, but not sin. As Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath." So what is this telling us? Be angry, do it God's way, sinless. Then forgive it. Then forget it. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy, envy and evil speaking, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Let's jump down to verse 5. It says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay Zion, the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.'" Let's jump down to verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, through the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins have been removed, that penalty which we were faced with. It has been pardoned from our lives. Jesus Christ took that beating for us, so we may be able to live. And since then, Jesus has become our high priest. Now that we have a high priest that sits on the right hand of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we have not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like we are, but without sin. So let us boldly come unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. That comes from Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16. So something that the world does not have at this time is access to God. The church of God, the family, we do. But are we using our time wisely? See, God through Jesus Christ is teaching his children about him and what his plans for us will be if we do endure till the end. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' He answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even with he has will been taken away from him. Therefore I say unto them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the heart of the people has grown dull, their eyes are heard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest you should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I shall heal them. But as verse 16 says, But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. See, God calls people in their own order. 1 Corinthians 15:23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming. See, there are churches who preach that Christ spoke in parables so the world would understand about the kingdom of God. But as we just read in these verses, verse 10 and 11, the mysteries of the kingdom have not been given to the world, only to those who have been called through Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 30. It says, For all these things the nations in the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Looking at verse 31, you know, one of these verses that the world would look at and say, You just have to believe in the name of Jesus Christ to be so-called, quoted, saved in their own understanding. They believe that Christ has already done everything for them. They're just on cruise control. But let's continue in verse 32. It says, Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Verse 33, it says, Sell what you have and give alms, providing yourselves money bags, which do not grow old, and treasures in the heavens that do not fail, where the thieves approach nor moths destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, Christ is referring to our way of life that we are to live. If we believe in God, we believe what the scriptures say, and we live by them accordingly, which also includes the way that we conduct our lives, the way that we talk to one another, and the way that we show love towards one another. See, one thing I have observed with people of the world is there is no humility towards one another. We are a generation of selfishness and greed. Even our own very own educational institutions teach and promote rivals towards each other. See, we have all been part of it somewhere in our life. But do we allow the world's influence, our upbringing, our carnal knowledge to take presence in our life when we know God's law? See, there are times, brethren, in our life that we are going to have to take that stand on what we believe. But we can't do it. We can't believe in something if we have not been taught it. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll pick up in verse 5. It says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and to be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." As verse 7 says, "Casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you." See, how are we to relate to one another in the church of God? See, God teaches his children through the chain of command: God, Jesus Christ, and us. The church is to edify the body, giving strength to one another, to fellowship with one another. The ministry is to teach and to give guidance, to also show examples of how to live by the Word of God. We follow our leaders as they follow Jesus Christ, praying for them that God will give them the guidance, will give them the instruction, that they may guide and lead the flock God has given them to lead. See, we are to build our foundation on the words of Jesus Christ. Let's turn back to Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, it says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built the house on the earth, without the foundation, against which the same stream beat up against it, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." See, God is not going to fully protect us. He's not going to fully protect his people if we are not willingly to surrender to God fully, which, as some would say, unconditional surrender. That even includes how we respect our brother in the church and those that we have in contact with. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind and be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be taught to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because, as it is written," verse 16, "be holy, for I am holy." See, we need to have courage that God is going to do. He is going to fulfill what he claims he is going to do, showing us love, giving us strength through his Holy Spirit that has been made known to us. Through God's love, we can expect trials to help edify us, to fortify our minds, to help us to become stronger in fighting the desires of this world, giving us the strength to never give up, fighting off the evils that can separate us from God. Let's now turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. It says, and we'll pick up in verse 1 through 5. It says, "My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation, or the payment of, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keep his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are with him." So here John exhorts them not to sin, but encourages them that those who have fallen by the hope and mercy through Jesus Christ, who is the payment or propitiation of our sins and for the whole world, that he who knows God keeps his commandments, and he who professes to abide in Christ also walks as Christ walked, and yet showing love to one another. Let's continue reading in 1 John chapter 3, picking up in verse 22. It says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he gave us commandment," as he gave us law. See, God's Holy Spirit is the tie that binds his children together, where we become one family, one body of many members. Without God's Holy Spirit, we are nothing. We have nothing. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we are the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." 1 John 5, verse 1 through 2. See, our brother is a person who follows God and heeds to his word, being a believer of the word, keeping the commandment and the salvational issues of God, showing love to all children of God that they come in contact with. See, Jesus Christ is our captain. He is our salvation. Are we following the orders that he has given us to follow? See, we cannot follow an order that we cannot see, nor can we follow one that we can't touch, unless we have faith. We must have faith. See, are we a submissive soldier of God, following the complete orders and direction God desires us to follow? If not, let us be reminded of the parable of the wedding feast. Let's read that in Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 11, it says, "But when the king came to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' As verse 14 says, 'For many are called, but few are chosen.'" See, the choice belongs to us. Are we a faithful Christian soldier, following our spiritual commander and chief's orders, who is God our Father? "For many are called, few are chosen." Are you called and chosen? Let us have confidence in God that he will give us the strength to be able to endure to the end, where we can be born truly sons of God. Let's turn to Hebrews and wrap this up. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll start in verse 35. It says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So, brethren, let us help one another establish patience in our life, to follow the instruction, to follow the orders that God has given us, to receive the promises that God has prepared for each one of us. And may we be obedient servants to all mankind, not just the household of God. In closing, let's turn to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. It said, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.